A reading from the book of Nehemiah. Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, consisting of men, women, and children old enough to understand. This was the first day of the seventh month. On the square before the water gate, in the presence of the men and women, and children old enough to understand, he read from the book from early morning till noon. All the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a wooden dais erected for the purpose. In full view of all the people, since he stood higher than all the people, Ezra opened the book. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people raised their hands and answered, "Amen, Amen." Then they bowed down and faced to the ground, prostrated themselves before the Lord. And Ezra read from the law of God, translating and giving the sense, so that the people understood what was read. Then Nehemiah, his excellency, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people, said to all the people, "This day is sacred to the Lord your God. Do not be mournful, do not weep." For the people were all in tears as they listened to the words of the law. He then said, "Go, eat the fat, drink the sweet wine, and send a portion to the man who has nothing prepared ready. For this day is sacred to our God. Do not be sad. The joy of the Lord is your stronghold." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to the Lord.
The refrain of the psalm is slightly different from what you've got in the newsletter, but the words of the verse are exactly the same. You have the message of eternal life, O Lord.
You have the message of eternal life, O Lord.
The law of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. The rule of the Lord is to be trusted. It gives wisdom to the simple.
You have the message of eternal life, O Lord.
The precepts of the Lord are right. They gladden the heart. The command of the Lord is clear. It gives light to the eyes.
You have the message of eternal life, O Lord.
The fear of the Lord is holy, abiding forever. The decrees of the Lord are truth, and all of them just.
You have the message of eternal life, O Lord.
May the spoken words of my mouth, the thoughts of my heart, win favour in your sight, O Lord, my rescuer, my rock.
You have the message of eternal life, O Lord.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Just as a human body, though it is made up of many parts, is a single unit, because all these parts, though many, make one body, so it is with Christ. In the one Spirit we were all baptized, Jews as well as Greeks, slaves as well as citizens, and one Spirit was given to us all to drink. Nor is the body to be identified with any one of its many parts. If the foot were to say, "I am not a hand, and so I do not belong to the body," would that mean that it stopped being part of the body? If the ear was to say, "I am not an eye, and so I do not belong to the body," Would that mean that it is not a part of the body? If your whole body was just one eye, how would you hear anything? If it was just one ear, how would you smell anything? Instead of that, God put all the separate parts into the body on purpose. If all the parts were the same, how could it be a body? As it is, the parts are many, but the body is one. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you, nor can the head say to the feet, I do not need you. What is more, it is precisely the parts of the body that seem to be the weakest which are the indispensable ones, and it is the least honourable parts of the body that we clothe with the greatest care. So our more improper parts get decorated in a way that our more proper parts do not need. God has arranged the body so that more dignity is given to the parts which are without it, and so that there may not be disagreements inside the body, but that each part may be equally concerned for all the others. If one part is hurt, all parts are hurt with it. If one part is given special honour, all parts enjoy it. Now you together are Christ's body, but each of you is a different part of it. In the church, God has given the first place to apostles, the second to prophets, the third to teachers. After them, miracles, and after them, the gift of healing. Helpers, good leaders, those with many languages. Are all of them prophets, or all of them apostles, or all of them teachers? Do they all have the gift of miracles, or all have the gift of healing? Do all speak strange languages, and all interpret them? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Seeing that many others have undertaken to draw up accounts of the events that have taken place among us, exactly as they were handed down to us by those from the outset who were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, I, in my turn, after carefully going over the whole story from the beginning, have decided to write an ordered account for you, Theophilus, so that Your Excellency may learn how well founded the teaching is that you have received. Jesus, with the power of the Spirit in him, returned to Galilee, and his reputation spread throughout the countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And as he usually did, he stood up to read. And they handed him the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord has been given to me, and he has anointed me. He has sent me to bring the good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, and to the blind new sight, to set the downtrodden free, to proclaim the Lord's year of favour." He then rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the assistant and sat down. And all eyes in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to speak to them. "This text is being fulfilled today, even as you listen." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In today's modern world, everything happens straight away. A click of the mouse, a tap on the smartphone, or a voice-controlled smart speaker. We hear or we read the latest headlines, or we listen to our favourite tunes, connect with family and friends, and organise the day's tasks ahead. We receive the news in real time. National, global events unfold before our eyes. We're in a shared existence. Time does not seem to have a delay. In today's Gospel, St. Luke begins by offering a reason why he is going to write an account about the good news of Jesus. Life, death, and resurrection, his life, his events, he wrote them in his faith so that we could understand and open our hearts to those events. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law that Ezra, the priest, reads to the people of Israel in today's first reading. Life, death, and resurrection is the fullness of God's promise to free the world and each of us from sin and darkness. The words that surround us in the news and social media can be a source of information. It can also be a source of misinformation. They can enlighten and give peace, or it can distort and disturb our view of persons and events. And we see that all the time on the news. Something's happening to one person, only subsequently to find out that it's not true. Today, we're trying to renew our trust in God's word that always will build us up and strengthen us with its truth and its wisdom. God's word, which brings wisdom and light, is the thing we try to live by. By drawing close to God's word, we fix our gaze on Jesus, who alone fulfills our deepest desire of the human heart for union with God and love of our neighbour. God's word gives us the confidence to speak out, the confidence to pray, the confidence to have a conversation with Jesus. I wonder how many of us actually look at Scripture today, just read a little bit of the Bible, or maybe read it to our children. Just reading one sentence and thinking about it can help our deeper soul understand the overall context if we just sit and think. So I'll leave you with a question. And that question is, where is God's word in my daily life?